Welcome back to the D3 Golf Guys podcast. All right, gang. We are getting dangerously close to the trip to Nationals. It's getting very exciting. We've got tons of results. We're going to go through sort of the as of which week, who's in, who's out. We've got some, we're going to remind everybody how we calculate all this stuff. But first, a note from our friends at Titleist. Guys, the Titleist T Series irons have changed the game already, and they're changing your podcaster's game as we speak. Long irons no longer a problem. Control, spin, it's everything you're looking for in an iron. If you haven't hit these things yet, please do yourself a favor. Go find your nearest Titleist rep, store, friend. Get the T-Series irons in your hand and give them a go. You will not be sorry. They're the best irons in golf today. Go see our friends at Titleist. Okay, lots of results to go through tonight. Then we're going to jump right into sort of the picture of Nationals today. We will also highlight where we can, and everybody's name will at least be called, who has already secured their ticket to Nationals. All right. So let's start with the women's side, where the SCAC Women's Championship was played at the new course at White Bluff Golf Resort in Whitney, Texas, where the Trinity University Tigers have come out on top and will be attending Nationals. Not a big surprise, you know, Trinity on the women's side, you know, this week is ranked right at 15th in the country, but they lock in their automatic bid and make their way to Nationals. 315, 305, 314. Southwestern finishes second, St. Thomas, Texas, third, University of Dallas, fourth, Shriner, fifth, Texas Lutheran, sixth, and Centenary, seventh. On the individual side, Kiona Hsu from Trinity won. She had a 78, 79, 74. We had two tied for second, Jessica Mason from Trinity University and Riley Erickson from Southwestern University. Two tied for fourth, Kimberly Birch from University of Dallas and Aaron Flynn from Trinity. Solo six was our good friend, Miss Sanchez de la Fuente. Seventh was Sydney Jackson from Southwestern. Eighth was Emma Luna from St. Thomas, Texas. We had two tied for ninth, Lauren Huddleston from Trinity and Trinity Lee. There you go. So Lauren Huddleston from Trinity University and Trinity Lee from St. Thomas, Texas. But a great plan. Congratulations to the Trinity women. They will be at in Lexington here in a couple weeks for the national championships. Okay. Also, over on the East Coast, at Fort Royal, Virginia, at the Blue Ridge Shadows, we had the ODAC Women's Championship. Now, some conferences, as you'll see, play men and women together, and some play them, some men here, women there, to break it up. There's a couple of different reasons for both. A lot of conferences will play them at the same time if they have the room to do that, because the teams kind of go together all the time. Other places where you have a lot of coaches who coach both men and women, try to break them up a little bit. Also, if you've got more than like eight teams, having 16 teams there means it's more of an effort and more things can go wrong. And so it tends to be a little bit more doable, especially if you're trying to get it done on a weekend. But the ODAC ladies were out and about, and not to anybody's real big surprise, but Washington Lee comes away with the win. 313, 319, 315. A little higher scores than I was thinking there. Lynchburg finishes second. Randolph Macon finishes third. Bridgewater fourth. Everett fifth. Virginia Wesleyan sixth. Shenandoah seventh. And Sweetbriar College eighth. So congratulations to the Washington Lee ladies for punching their ticket to Nationals. Again, not a big surprise. We had that one penciled in based on the performance throughout the year. On the individual side, Juliet Coffey from Virginia Wesleyan wins in a playoff. She goes 77, 78, 75 over Emily Brubaker, who finishes second from Lynchburg, who went 79, 75, 76. Ann Schellmeyer from Washington Lee finishes solo third. Two tied for fourth. Alexis Holler from Randolph-Macon and Morgan Moussat from Randolph-Macon. Good playing by Morgan. Again, she's one of our people. Came on the pod while we were down at Jekyll. Ella Wong for Washington Lee tied for sixth, along with Sophia Martone from Bridgewater College. Solo eighth was Julia Heitzel from Washington and Lee. Solo ninth was Amani Narang from Sweetbriar College. And solo 10th was Marcella Mercer from Washington and Lee. So a nice performance by the Washington and Lee ladies. They were getting ready to go to nationals. All right, to the Northwest. Go back across the country to the Northwest, where we are in Aurora, Oregon, for the Langdon Farms Golf Club for the Northwest Conference Women's Championship. And to nobody's surprise, the George Fox University ladies captured the championship and will be attending nationals. They won by only 39 strokes. They only played two rounds. I don't know if something got canceled or they only playing two rounds, which was interesting. But George Fox wins, Whitman second, Whitworth third, Pacific University fourth, Pacific Lutheran fifth, Puget Sound sixth, Linfield seventh, and Willamette eighth. There's my mea culpa, Willamette people. I'm getting it right. Speaking of mea culpas, and we'll get into this a little bit, but, you know, anytime I always try to acknowledge, there's a chance I might mispronounce your name, just let us know. Well, I got a great comment on our website from David and Tracy Venny, whose daughter, Kira Venny, I butchered and mispronounced. She plays at St. Kate's. So, Kira, congratulations. Your parents love you very much. They reached out to me via our website to provide me with a phonetic spelling of your name. Awesome. What a great thing for parents to do. I hope I can help provide this kind of level of embarrassment, but also fun and correction when I have kids in college. But so mea culpa there, Kira Venny. So from St. Kate. So there's my mea culpa on that one. Happy to, for any other sets of parents that would like to correct my pronunciations, I'm always open for that criticism. All right, back to the Northwest Conference on the individual side. Not a big surprise here. Allison Takamiya wins, Mackenzie Toole second, Liana Brown third, all from George Fox. Bede Bunta from Pacific University finishes solo fourth. Brianna McNelly from Whitworth, solo fifth. Two tied for sixth, Cindy Lowe from Whitman and Elena Young from Whitman. Solo eighth was Kira Good from Puget Sound. Solo ninth was Abby Madaleski from Pacific Lutheran. And solo 10th was Ainsley Carter from George Fox. All right, moving on. We had the Take Back of the Night Challenge in Decatur, Illinois. They played two different courses, and Wash U comes out on top. The ladies from Wash U won by 29 shots, 301, 301, back-to-back days, really nice play. Two different courses they played. They beat DePaul University out of Greencastle, Indiana. They finished second, Rose Holman third, North Central College fourth, Carthage fifth, Milliken sixth, Loras College seventh, and North Park University eighth. On the individual side of things, Becky Williams from DePaul wins. She goes 74-69 for a 1-under total. Great playing. The next four, we had solo second, Amy Beanblossom. Solo third, Athena Ning. Two tied for fourth, Tiffany Chan and Reagan Robinson, all from Wash U. So there's four Wash U players, 2-3, tied for fourth. That's how that happens. Harper McClements from Rose Holman, solo sixth. Two tied for seventh, Mallory Clifton from North Central College and Mackenzie Caseta from Wash U. Solo ninth was Precious Solie from Rose Holman. And two tied for 10th, Erica Wickramashiana. I think I got that pretty close, from DePaul, and Elizabeth Ma from Rose Holman. So nice to see the Wash U ladies there. They got some good news in the rankings this week, and we'll talk a little more about that a little later. We also had, let's go up a little bit to the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater Spring Fling in Janesville, Wisconsin, where the Illinois Wesleyan ladies decided to come on up and let everybody know how good they were. They win by 16 shots over Aurora University. So Aurora finishing second, Wisconsin Stout third, University of Dubuque fourth, Illinois Wesleyan's B team 5th, Wisconsin Whitewater 6th place, Lake Forest College 7th, Wisconsin Platteville 8th, Marion University Wisconsin 9th, Wisconsin Whitewater's B team 10th, Wisconsin Oshkosh 11th, Wisconsin Stevens Point 12th, Carroll University Wisconsin 13th, because there's one in Ohio also. Edgewood College in 14th, Wisconsin Lutheran 15th, and Wheaton College 16th. It's a tough one for tough day on some of the golf courses there. Individually, there, Abby Filipiak from Wisconsin Stout wins. Two tied for second, Katie Lux from Wisconsin Whitewater and Macy Ludwig from Illinois Wesleyan. Solo fourth was Sydney Grimm from Wisconsin Stout. They had two tied for fifth, Michelle Beggs from Aurora and Emma Thorman from Illinois Wesleyan. And we got a whole bunch of Illinois Wesleyans. And I don't know who was on the B team versus the A team on the individual side of things. But two tied for seventh, Jackie O'Neill from Illinois Wesleyan and Lexi Onsrud from Illinois Wesleyan. Solo ninth, Emily Gastro from Illinois Wesleyan. Two tied for 10th, Ellie Knight from Aurora and Megan Cobelt from Aurora. So a nice performance by the Aurora ladies. You know, they're getting ready for their conference play. Illinois Wesleyan, again, they seem to be sort of the class right now of that lower Midwestern group. They moved up in the rankings a little bit too this week. So we'll hear more about them as we get into those rankings. Okay, and our last conference championship on the women's side and tournament that we highlighted this week is the USA South Women's Championship, which actually finished today that we're recording. At the Carolina Country Club, really nice golf course in Spartanburg, South Carolina, and where the Methodist University ladies come out on top by 34 strokes. So, you know, Methodist is kind of the ladies at Methodist have kind of had this enigma season that just is unusual for that program. But they take care of business in conference and deliver, so they'll be attending nationals as well. They win by 34 over Huntington College. Piedmont solo third, Southern Virginia fourth, Pfeiffer University fifth, Meredith College sixth, and Maryville, Tennessee seventh. On the individual side, Aaron Donovan from Piedmont wins. She goes 75, 73, 69, final round three under to shoot one over total, win by seven. Great plan. Two tied for second, Emily Gresham from Methodist and Natalie Brozig from Methodist. Solo fourth, Mary Charles Davis from Huntington. Solo fifth, Jenna Rutledge from Methodist. Solo sixth, Caroline Culbertson from Huntington. Solo seventh, Kristen Page from Pfeiffer. Solo eighth, Brianna Willis from Huntington. Solo ninth, Ava Catherine Banks from Huntington. And solo 10th, Chloe Krause from Methodist. So congratulations to the Methodist ladies. They will be attending nationals with their automatic bid from their conference. Okay. That is the ladies' kind of conversation. So let's turn our attention over to the ladies' rankings. So what I've done is last week I took down all the rankings as they did, and I kind of ran through the Pool B, Pool C stuff to go through this. But let's reset for everybody that may be tuning in now and has not listened to the older podcasts. So the way the NCAA selection committee works for the national championships in Division III, there's a bunch of formulas on all this stuff, but essentially they start off with how many teams are in Division III that play either women's or men's golf. And then they figure out how many teams are, how many conferences have an automatic qualifier. I have all the automatic qualifier numbers around here somewhere. Let me peel it up here real quick. So in the women's field, there are 24 automatic qualifiers. In the men's field, there's 34 automatic qualifiers. So that's conferences that have enough teams that play golf that qualify for an automatic qualifier. Then there's Pool B teams. Pool B is for teams that don't have a conference that qualifies for an automatic bid. Okay? So one of those that's very, very big that we'll talk a lot about is the UAA. So that's where Carnegie Mellon and Emory and a couple other schools are, but they don't have enough schools that play golf in that conference to qualify for an automatic qualifier. So they go kind of in this Pool B. And essentially what it's saying is, look, you got a chance to win your conference if you have an automatic qualifier. The AQs are the first level of opportunity you get in. If your conference doesn't have enough, next set is Pool B. Pool B comes next. And then everybody else goes into Pool C, which is the true at-large Pool. Okay. Now in the women's game this year, Pool B, there are 2 open spots, and Pool C, there are 3 open spots. So you're going to get 24 automatic qualifiers, 2 teams from conferences that don't have an automatic qualifiers, and then 3 other schools who are deserving to go to the nationals. That there will also be a group of individuals that kind of look like a team, but there'll be individuals that are not already in nationals that will be selected. Now, I tend not to do the individuals. I've done it in the past, but with all the stuff that we have kind of going on with the rankings, I'm very tentative to try to do individuals. I think we'll review when that comes out to kind of say, yes, we agree with some of that. But with where the rankings are, that's going to be kind of a hard task for this podcaster to do. All right. So looking at the women's rankings, as we go down, I'm going to help you identify where things are. And I'm going off of the Wednesday, April 24th finished rankings for the women in Division III off of the clipped scoreboard, because what we've been told is that's the NCAA's rankings. So we're going to use them. Now, the golf coaches could be making different choices. The coaches, the selection committee could be doing things differently. But from right now, this is what the NCAA has told us we're supposed to be looking at. So we're going to look at it. Okay, interesting enough, not a ton of movement for the ladies inside the top 5 or 6, which is what we would expect. But there was some significant movement. So last week, Illinois Wesleyan was 10th. And this week, they moved up to 8th. And I'll get into why that's important as we get going forward. Wellesley moved up from 13th to 9th. And that's a very nice move for the Wellesley ladies. And the biggest drop back was, interestingly enough, Washington and Lee, who went from 8th back down to 11th. Now, the good news for Washington and Lee is they get the automatic qualifier for the ODAC. But it brings up a point that I know somebody else brought up to me, which is, wait a minute, somebody played their conference, but they fell back 3 spots. Well, the problem is the conference, they didn't shoot way under par, and the conference is not as deep, which when you talk about some of our Division III conferences, there's not many conferences that have more than 2 to 3 top 25 teams. So you're just not going to have a very deep field. But what this gets back to is some of that strokes gain stuff that we've talked over and over and over about. Unfortunately for Washington Lee, they fell 3 spots. Unfortunately for them, they got a big star that says they got the automatic qualifier, so they're going to nationals regardless of whatever else is happening. Nobody else from the ODAC and the women's side is really inside the top 25. So it doesn't really impact them, but it is an interesting thing to kind of look from week to week. Okay, so if we go through the rankings here, Carnegie is currently ranked 1st. Well, they are a Pool B team because they're in the UAA. So they're going to get in Pool B because they're the number 1 team in the country. They're getting in nationals. Number 2 is Pomona from the SCIAC in Southern California League. Okay. So this is a good example of, we'll put Pomona in everywhere we go. We're going to put in the top ranked team from that conference. So Pomona, number 2 in the country, they're going to get in. Book it right now. Okay. Great. Now, let's just put them in as the automatic qualifier, assuming that they take care of business in their conference, okay? We go down to number 3. Well, number 3 is Emory, who's also Pool B. Now, remember, in the women's game, we only have 2 Pool B spots. So we're at number 3 in the country, and they're both gone. There are other teams that are Pool B out there, but there's no more Pool B spots, so everybody goes to Pool C. Next, George Fox. Won their automatic qualifier, they're in. Next from that, Williams College, number 5. Williams College is in the NESCAC, the Northeastern Conference. They've been playing well. They've had a chance to kind of dominate that league quite a bit. Let's put them in as potentially winning that automatic qualifier. Number 6 is Claremont Mud Scripps, Southern California Intercollegiate Athletic Conference, same as Pomona. Okay, well, if they're the number 6 team in the country and they play Pomona tooth and nail but lose by 2 strokes, they're not going to move too much down the list. They're currently number 6 in the country. They're going to get one of the at-large bids. Number 7 in the country is Redlands, who is also in the SCIAC in Southern California. So unless they get drastically docked in points, which I would find hard to believe this late in the game, they're going to get the second Pool C at-large bid. Moving down the rankings again, Illinois Wesleyan 8, they'll win their conference. Wellesley is in the Liberty League. They should win that league, so we'll put them in. Number 10 currently is Wash U. Wash U is a Pool B team. But because Pool B is already full, they go to Pool C, and they would get an at-large bid. So right now, we're at the top 10 in the country. There are no more at-large bids available. This is kind of the conversations that we have in the women's side of things is we've got to figure out a way to get more at-large bids into the field. It's tight. It's really tight. So as we'll show you, is kind of going down. You know, pretty much everybody up above here is going to get in. If somebody steals a bid, you know, so if for some reason Williams loses their conference tournament, they're going to get a bid because they're 5, which would take the at-large bid away from Wash U, who's at 10. That's how this is going to work. So right now, with assuming that everybody, there's no bid stealing going on, anybody after 10 in the country who doesn't win their conference is not making nationals. That's pretty tough. Okay, moving down to 11th. 11th is Washington Lee. They're already in. Number 12, University of Texas at Dallas. They're in the American Southwest, and they've got Mary Harden Baylor in their conference, who's at 18th in the country. One of those two teams is not going to make nationals as it stands right now. Now, the only other caveat I'll put in there is there may be something in here, and I don't know what the committee is going to consider about, are they really going to take two other Southern California teams, or are they going to try to move the at-larges around from a geographic perspective? If they go by how we've done in the past, it's not about geographics. It's about where you're ranked in those rankings that we have worked so hard at. I don't know where this stands, but as it stands right now, I'm using the rankings as they've given it to us. You know, so University Texas at Dallas and Mary Harden Baylor, you better win conference, because if you don't, I don't know that you're going to make nationals at this point. And that's why we bring up all this stuff and why we talk about who wins where and everything else along the way. St. Kate's is at 13 in the country. They're already in. Amherst, 14th. They're in the NESCAC. Okay, well, can Amherst get Williams and get themselves in? That's probably going to be one of the only ways that Amherst can do it. Like, even if they go crazy low, but Williams just clips them, they're still probably not going to get enough points to get over everybody else to get up there unless something drastic happens. But remember, the reason why the Pool B teams are in there is because they don't have a conference tournament. So Wash U is probably not going backwards after their most recent tournament. Trinity, Texas at 15, they're already in from the SCAC. NYU is at 16th. They're at the Liberty League. Well, can they get Wellesley? Wellesley's in front of Wash U. Well, but if Wellesley loses, do they slip past Wash U and Wash U stays in? These are the kind of things that keep coaches up at night, right? And so as we kind of go through here, okay, center. Center is the first highest ranked SAA team. There is Rhodes, who was also in the top 25 at 22, and Suwannee at 24. Well, one of those teams is going to get in because of the automatic qualifier in the SAA. But who is that going to be? Mary Harden Baylor at 18. We already talked about them. Carleton College, 19th. They're the MEAC. Well, St. Kate's is already in, and Carleton's down here at 19th. I don't see how they can get in, right? And Methodist is at 20. They're in now automatically. Middlebury's in the NESCAC with Williams. We already talked about the SAA with Rhodes. They're at 22. Hamilton, NESCAC with Williams. 24 is Suwannee in the SAA, and Chapman is the last SCIAC Southern California team. Now, what happens if Chapman wins? Oh my gosh, it pushes everybody down one. And so that's why we talk about bid steals. The other team that we haven't talked about is in the MIAA, which is St. Mary's, who earned their automatic bid into the national championships as well. All right, but so that's the women's field. The way that I look at it, I'm fairly confident the top 10 will take care of business in their respective conference tournaments. I'm looking at, you know, can Texas at Dallas play well enough to try to get in front of Wash U to get that third at-large bid? That will be huge. And then the other big question is, are they really going to let the SCIAC in Southern California take two of the three at-large bids? Look, they're both really good teams, and they're ranked up here for a reason. But we've also kind of seen how the rankings have been manipulatable. And so do we have some reasonableness that says, wait, like, do we need to give another at-large bid to somebody from somewhere else? I don't know what the answer is, but it's more of a thing here on the women's side than on the men's, but that's where you kind of look and go, yeah, it you know, getting in front of some of these other teams when you play in these big tournaments, it matters because you got to get your ranking up as high as you can to try to justify those at-large bids. All right, so that's the women's side. Let's go do some work on the men's side here for a little bit. Okay, on the men's side, we had some other great tournaments out there. So we had the Bobby Craig Invitational in New Prague, Minnesota. They played two different courses there, but very good playing. The St. John's Johnnies from Minnesota, they win by 13 shots over Wisconsin Eau Claire. Johnny's go 296, 285. Great play in the last day to really separate from everybody else. They had the lowest round eight, the round two by far. Wisconsin Eau Claire finishes second. Bethel, who, by the way, Bethel's A team was at a different tournament. Bethel's B team finishes third. Gustavus fourth. Wisconsin Stevens Point fifth. Three teams tied for sixth. Wisconsin Eau Claire's B team, Concordia, Minnesota, and Augsburg University. St. John's B team finishes 9th. Gustavus's B team finishes 10th. St. Olaf 11th. McAllister 12th. St. Scholastica 13th. And Bethany Lutheran 14th. Okay, on the individual side, Jacob Farron from Bethel's B team wins, or tied for first. I don't know what happened. They didn't break it in the thing, but he shot 2 under last day, 68. He was tied with Stellan Orvik from Augsburg. So they both shot 2 over for the tournament. We had a whole bunch of people tied for third. We had Mark Long-Henry from St. John's, Ethan Melberg from Wisconsin Stevens Point, Nate Loxterkamp from St. John's, Carson Brock from Wisconsin Eau Claire, and Sam Berger from St. John's, Minnesota, all tied for third at 4 over par. Jack Wellen from Bethel was tied for 8th with Owen Covey from Wisconsin Eau Claire. We had 4 tied for 10th, Gabe Benson from Concordia, Ben Pasha from Wisconsin Eau Claire, Spencer Lynch from Wisconsin Eau Claire, and Paleo Perez Crespo from Gustavus Adolphus. So a good playing, but I think that the big thing here, and you'll see this, is St. John's needed to make sure they beat Wisconsin Eau Claire because Eau Claire's trying to find an at-large bid, and St. John's probably has one right now. And so that's going to hurt Wisconsin Eau Claire's chances to try to get up the field and into the nationals field. Right. And I don't even have, they're not even in the top 25 right now, but St. John's is right there inside that top 10 range. And so that helps them keep their head above water as we kind of get into that space. Okay. Let's talk conference championship. So the SCAC men also got things going at the new course at White Bluff Golf Resort in Whitney, Texas, where the men from Shriner must have heard me say, I haven't talked about them all year. They must have heard me, and they came out and dominated, win by 18 strokes to win the SCAC and win the automatic bid to the national championships. So congratulations to them. Trinity University finishes 2nd, St. Thomas, Texas 3rd, Centenary College 4th, Texas Lutheran 5th, University of Dallas 6th, and Southwestern University 7th. On the individual side, let's see, Andrew Bennett from Centenary College wins with a 4-under total, 71-71-70. Awesome. Jacob Mason from Trinity, who I think has a good chance to make it as an individual. He finishes solo 2nd, 74-67-80. Ooh, tough final day. That one probably hurt Trinity a lot there as they got into it. Chance Snell from Centenary finishes solo 3rd. 2 tied for 4th. Matthew McKenzie from Shriner and Drew Hermsmeyer. Let me try it one more time. Hermsmeyer from Shriner University, both tied for 4th. Rex Soler from Dallas. Toby Willis from Texas Lutheran, solo 7th. Jack Sittler, solo 8th from Shriner. And two tied for ninth, Cameron Curtis from St. Thomas and Zach Allen from St. Thomas. So congratulations to those guys. SCAC champion going to nationals. Shriner was 16th in the country this week. So not really a bid steal there. Okay. We also had a little Midwestern flair in Noblesville, Indiana for the DePaul Spring Classic at Pebblebrook Golf Club. Where the Wittenberg University gang came out and won. They go 286, 280. It was a par 70 course. So they went six over day one, even day two, to win by four over DePaul, which is a nice win by Wittenberg. They're keeping their trying to keep their nose out in front of everybody else in that kind of Indiana, Ohio region, where they're probably the highest, they're the highest ranked NCAC conference team right now. So Wittenberg wins, DePaul second, Rose Holman solo third, Wabash fourth, Transylvania fifth, Ohio Northern sixth, DePaul's B team seventh, Wabash's B team eighth, and Ohio Northern's B team ninth. On the individual side, Austin Gregor or Georger, Gregor or Georger, I probably butchered this one, Austin. So you know, let me know, but I'm gonna go with Georger. From Wittenberg, goes 69-70 for a 1-under total. Solo second was Caleb Domitrovich from Wittenberg. You know, there's just not a lot of Smiths out there right now for me, which is, you know, it's a tough thing as a podcaster. We had two tied for third, Ryan Miller from Wittenberg University and Cooper Benedict from DePaul University. We had a whole bunch of people tied for fifth, so bear with me. This everybody tied for fifth. Brandon Weiss from Wabash, Sean Bledsoe from Wabash, Lachlan Tatterson from Transylvania, Nolan Hall from DePaul University, Thomas Buchert from Transylvania, Ashir Patel from Ohio Northern, Miles Patterson from Wabash, and Luke Poole from Rose Holman Institute of Technology. Ugh. Woo, that's a lot. Okay, so moving on. We got lots of results to get through. All right. When the men's, let's go to the Northeast, where the Williams Spring Invitational at the world-renowned Taconic Golf Club. They held a little one-day two-rounder up there where the Williams College Eaves come out on top by two over Trinity College. Now, we talked about Trinity last week. We've seen them play some good golf. Williams comes and gets them on the men's side here by two. Williams goes 292, 294. It came back on that second round to get them, too, because Trinity went out 291 and was up by one. They go 297 in round two. It was a good tournament, especially the top there. So Williams 1, Trinity College, Connecticut 2, Hamilton 3, Amherst 4, Middlebury 5, Bowdoin 6, Tufts 7, Bates College 8th, and Wesleyan 9th. From a player leaderboard perspective, Benjamin Boyd from Trinity, Connecticut wins at even par total. We went 69-73. Solo second was Colin McKeggy. I'm going to go with that one. Middlebury College, one over. Really nice. 72-71. Solo third was Philip Clifton from Williams. Two over total, 73-71. It's a good plan at that golf course. That's a big boy golf course. They were playing it at 6,800 yards, par 71. That's a lot of golf. Stephen Chen at solo fourth from Amherst College. Will Whitaker from Hamilton College, solo fifth. Two tied for sixth. Henry Riley from Trinity College and Henry Harrison from Middlebury College. We had three tied for eighth. Holden Kittleberger from Tufts, Will Rich from Williams College, and Ben Sepovitz from Williams College. But good play in there. I'd like to see the Williams men come up and get Trinity. That'll be interesting as we kind of see, you know, when we get into conference play next week. You know, but here, honestly, it's going to be about winning your conference. These teams have to win their conference because there's just, even on the men's side where there is more at-large bids, there's not a lot of room for people that aren't inside the top 20 already. Okay, let's go to our friends in the Northwest. So we're going from the Northeast all the way across the country to the Northwest, to Oregon, where the Northwest Conference men's tournament happens, and Whitman College comes out on top by 12 shots over Willamette. They go 294, 288. Very nice playing. A par 71 course. They win by 12 over Willamette, who went 302, 292. Linfield finishes third, Whitworth fourth, Pacific Lutheran fifth, Puget Sound sixth, Pacific Lutheran seventh, and George Fox Men eighth. On the individual side of things, Mason Remington from Whitman, 4 under total. He goes 71-67. Very good playing. Alex Knox, solo second from Whitman, 3 over, 71-74. And Ben Sweet from Whitman, solo third, 75-72. Great playing there. Three tied for fourth. Brock Olson from Willamette, Riley Lynch from Linfield, and Douglas Bailey from Linfield. We had 4 tied for 7th. Marcus Otto from Pacific Lutheran, Brendan Bork from George Fox, Sam Pauley from Whitworth, and Preston Lighty from Willamette. So the guys from Willamette University, I'm sorry you didn't win, but I am saying Willamette correctly now. So you guys have schooled me in the correct pronunciation, and I should have known that because I like wines from the Willamette Valley. But the Whitman gang is going to Nationals, so we'll be seeing them in Las Vegas in a few weeks. So that's a big congratulations to our Northwest Conference champions. Okay, we had some other non-conference tournaments going on where Emory hosted a little spring invitational by Discover DeKalb. I know how to say that. I don't know every once in a while. Cherokee Run Golf Club, very nice golf course. Where we had a tie for first place between Washington and Lee's men and Emory's men. A little surprised that Emory didn't kind of put the hammer down here and win this one. It's their starting five. And so they tie it with Washington and Lee. Washington and Lee goes 305, 295, 300. Emory goes 299, 297, 304. So they both finished right there. They were 12 shots ahead of Averett, who finished solo third. Pomona Pitzer's men came over to the east to finish tied for fourth along with the Mississippi University for Women, that is the men's golf team from the Mississippi University for Women, which they just usually call MUW. So just be clear, that's the men's team from Mississippi University for Women. Emory's B team, solo sixth, Randolph-Macon seventh, Suwannee's B team eighth, York College, Pennsylvania ninth, Oglethorpe's B team 10th, and Penn State Allatoona 11th. We will jump in because I know I don't think Kletznik played. Jackson did play. Ooh, yeah, Jackson did play. But uncharacteristic for Emory. It won't hurt them a ton as they played so much that it won't change the rankings much. But keep your eye on that. I would expect them to play a little better. Solo first was John Kiba from Everett University. 74, 76, 71. They had 2 tied for second. Jonathan McEwen from Washington and Lee and Michael Burry from Emory. Solo fourth was Kevin Mu from Emory. Solo fifth was Michael Schall from Randolph-Macon. 3 tied for 6th. Tucker Lee from Pomona. Josh Keon from Emory. And Brady Legendick from Emory. All tied for 6th. And we had 2 tied for 9th. William Cooper from Suwannee and Will Braxton from Washington and Lee. So again, a lot of B teams at that tournament. Pomona came east, which I find very interesting. A nice performance by Averett to get in third in this one and make sure nobody else kind of got them. But they're on the outside looking in right now. They could use a solo second or a win here, I think, to help them points wise. But you know, Washington Lee's got to go battle everybody else out in the ODAC. You know, they got to fight Lynchburg tooth and nail to try to figure out who that is. Washington Lee's, you know, 8th this week in the country. Emory's 2 in the country. So, you know, not bad for them to tie, but just interesting that scores are a little higher than I wouldn't want to see. They're floating around 300, which I think is just a little bit more interesting than what I would have expected. Okay, let's go to the Midwest, where we go to Decatur, Illinois, for the Take Back the Night Challenge on the men's side, where Illinois Wesleyan comes in and dominates. They shoot a 2 under for 2 day total, 287, 283. They finished first and 10 shots better than Parkland College, which I don't believe is a Division III school. Third was Nebraska Wesleyan. Fourth, Carthage College. Fifth, Central College, Iowa. Illinois Wesleyan's B team finishes tied for 6th with Millikan University and Illinois College. We had 3 tied for 9th, Roosevelt University, North Park University, and University of Dubuque. Wheaton College 12th, Lake Forest College 13th, Heartland Community College 14th, North Central College 15th, Illinois College's B team 16th, and DuPage Community College 17th. On the individual leaderboard, Marcus Park from Parkland College goes 4 under, 69-70. Griffin Pohl from Illinois Wesleyan finishes tied for second with his teammate Junie Bay, both 2 under total, 72-69 for Griffin, 71-70 for Junie. Solo fourth was Harrison Weddle from Wisconsin, from Nebraska Wesleyan. Solo fifth was Garrett James from Illinois College. Solo sixth was Alex Lilly from Carthage College. Solo seventh was Christian Gilardi from Nebraska Wesleyan. We had three tied for eighth, Lucas Park from Parkland, John Altman from Central College, and Quinn Clifford from Illinois Wesleyan. Okay. And now one of the big results from this past week, where we had our very first major bid steal, which was in the American Southwest Conference. It was at the Nutcracker Golf Club in Granbury, Texas, where we go out the first day and Letourneau University gets out to a lead. They go 289 day one to kind of put themselves in the lead and going, hey, we're here and ready to go. Concordia is in second with a 291, and Texas at Dallas, who is the highest ranked team here, was shoots 294. So they're five back going into the last round. And I believe one of the rounds got rained out or not played. Mary Harden Baylor 298. So they were a little bit further back. East back Texas Baptist a little further back. So okay, fine. But then going into the last round, okay, Concordia backs up with 294. So now it's really between Letourneau and Texas at Dallas. Letourneau shoots 286, two over par, to give them a three over total. And doggone it, Texas at Dallas fires a 281, three under for an also three over par, and the teams tie for first place. There was a playoff, and Letourneau University wins the playoff with three pars and a birdie. I believe what they did is they send out the teams and they count them up, count your best four, and play the first hole, and whoever scores the best wins. So Letourneau University gets the automatic qualifier, which steals a bid from the at-large pool, because Texas at Dallas is currently ranked 13th. Now, that's their conference. I don't think they're going to go backwards any, but can other people leapfrog them? I don't know that they're going to miss out on it, but that is an official bid steal. On the individual side, real quick, Parker Smith and Daniel Schaffner from, let's say, Parker Smith from Concordia and Daniel Schaffner from Texas Dallas also tied. And Daniel Schaffner from UT Dallas wins the individual paper with a birdie on the first playoff hole. So we have playoffs all over the place in American Southwest. You think you're going home? No, they're massive playoffs everywhere. They both shoot four under for the two rounds. Parker goes 71-68. Daniel goes 69-70. It's great playing. At two tied for third, Noah Summers from Letourneau and Kip Childress from East Texas Baptist, both with two under. At two tied for fifth, Harrison Hobson from Howard Payne and Davis Archer from Texas at Dallas. Two tied for seventh, Parker McCurdy from Texas at Dallas and Luke Lohman from Mary Harden Baylor. And then two tied for ninth, Jorge Arnaud from Concordia and Corbin King from Letourneau, all with plus three. So again, massive, massive playoffs and implications and things like that in the American Southwest. We'll get more into that as we kind of do the rankings breakdown. The other one is in USA South Conference, where the Methodist men, they won by 69 shots. It'll be very interesting to see what kind of points they get out of this one, because they shot 18 under total. Greensboro was solo second with 49 over par. So 18 under versus 49 over. Holy cow. Methodist shot 13 under the last day. They go 287, 284, 275. Just unbelievable. They're going to be the number one team in the country going into nationals, no doubt. Now, it'll be really interesting what kind of points they get for this performance, because I think strokes gain is going to really like the fact that they shot 18 under and nobody else shot lower than 49 over. North Carolina Wesleyan finishes third, Southern Virginia fourth, William Peace fifth, and Pfeiffer sixth. On the individual leaderboard, it's pretty much where you would think, but congratulations to Pfeiffer's Colin Phelps, who had a hole-in-one on number three during the third round. Great. two tied for first. I don't know if they played it off or not. I didn't get that information, but Cooper Raybreck and Caleb Ryan from Methodist both shoot 7 under for the tournament. Cooper comes from behind and shoots 5 under the last day, 67. He went 69, 73, 67. Caleb Ryan from Methodist goes 70, 69, 70. Cameron Capuzzo from is solo third from Methodist. He was 4 under. He went 75, 69, 68. Jiminy Christmas. Solo fourth was Brogan Bennett from Southern Virginia. Two tied for fifth, Andreas Huber from Greensboro, Chase Waltz from Methodist. Nice to see Chase playing well. And solo seventh was Aiden Spampinato from Methodist. So there's your 5 Methodist guys all inside the top 7. Connor Key was solo 8th from Pfeiffer. And we had 2 tied for 9th, Nick Bernard from William Peace and Christian Beaker from Greensboro. So not a big surprise there, but definitely an interesting result to watch how the rankings will treat that one, because I think that's what I'm going to keep my eye on. We might talk about that one next week. Okay, going back to the men, some interesting movements, right? So we just talked about University of Texas at Dallas. Last week, they were at 11. This week, they're at 13. So they moved down, and I don't think they even played. Who moved in front of them was St. John's and Claremont moved in front of University of Texas at Dallas. And that's interesting because both of those, I mean, St. John's is not they're going to be an at-large team. They're not an automatic bid. Bethel won that one. Claremont could win the SCIAC. Other big moves. Bethel moves up from 19th to 17th and moving Babson down from 17th to 18th, which was an interesting little move there. And then also Pomona, this is a crusher. Pomona was 18th and had I doing this process, I had them as the last at-large team in. This week, Pomona drops to 20th, and I have them the first at-large team out. So if it feels a little bracketology-ist, this is actually what some of us coaches do from time to time, is go through and go, okay, who's going to win, who's going to go where? But we're going to do the same kind of walk that we did on the ladies' side. All right, so remember, automatic qualifiers, Pool B for conferences that don't have that, and Pool C for kind of everybody else, right? So on the men's side, remember, there's 34 at-large bids. There's only 1 Pool B spot, and there's 8 Pool C spots. Now, again, it's about how many people play the sport and that to determine who this is. Okay, so number 1 in the country is Methodist. They're in. They get an automatic bid. Number 2 in the country is Emory. They're Pool B. So there's our Pool B team, Emory. Number 3 in the country is Pool B. It's Carnegie Mellon. So, but because Pool B is full, they automatically fall to Pool C. Well, Kearney's going to get in, so there's 1 of our 8 Pool C teams. Next up is Oglethorpe. They're in the SAA. They would probably be favored to win the SAA, but Suwanee is probably the only other team that could beat them if Grayson kind of comes back and is ready to play, which let's hope he is. But Suwanee's 9th in the country. So one of those 2 is going to get in, so there's another bid to be taken there. Illinois Wesleyan's 5th. They will win their conference, no problem. Huntington is 6th. They're in the new collegiate conference of the South. They should win that conference. If they don't, the Piedmont or LaGrange comes up and get them, I'd be very surprised. They've been playing much better as of late, so I'd be very surprised there. The next big piece here is 7th and 8th. 7th is Lynchburg, and Washington Lee is 8th. We just saw Washington Lee play Emory to a tie. But one of those teams is going to get in with the automatic qualifier, most likely, unless somebody like a Guilford jumps up and gets them, which could be a massive 2-bid steal. But let's just say Lynchburg or Washington Lee wins that ODAC tournament. The other one's going to get an at-large. So there's 2 at-larges kind of already gone. Carnegie's got 1, and the ODAC has 1, and now the 3rd one is Suwanee. So let's just say that 1 goes to Carnegie, 2 goes to the ODAC loser, and Suwanee gets the 3rd because we have Oglethorpe above them. Aurora has won their conference, and they will be attending nationals. They are currently 10th in the country. St. John's is 9th. They are an at-large team, so they get the 4th at-large bid. So we're at 11 teams in the country, top 11 teams in the country. We already have 4 at-large spots gone, only 4 left. Claremont Mudd Scripps is the highest SCIAC team in the field. They should be favored to win that conference, but hey, there's other good teams in there. Pomona's good. The Redlands is good. Like, so there's some things that could happen there, but let's assume that they win. Next is 13th at University of Texas at Dallas. Well, we know Letourneau's going, and so they have to get an at-large bid now, so they're the fifth at-large team in. Wittenberg is the highest-ranked NCAC team in from that Ohio conference. Let's assume that they get in. 15th is Guilford. They're in the ODAC. We already had two other ODAC teams up here with Lynchburg and Washington Lee. So if they're really the 15th team, and we're doing this by the rankings, Guilford gets in, and that's six at-large spots. There's only two at-large spots left. Next in the rankings is Shriner. They'd won their automatic qualifier. They're in. Next is Bethel. They won the automatic qualifier. They're in. The next is Babson. Babson is Pool B, which means they're already in Pool C, which means they would get the seventh at-large bid. And then we get to 19th, and that's Averett, who's in USA South, we just talked about, who is needs an at-large bid, and they would get the last and final eighth spot of the at-large based on purely based on these rankings. Next is Pomona, who would be the first team out because we have Claremont Mudscripts in for their conference. So Pomona, you should really try to win conference. After that is Hampton Sydney in the ODAC. So, like, look, if Hampton Sydney plays well and wins the ODAC, this could, whole thing could turn topsy-turvy. Kenyon is next. They're in the NCAC with Wittenberg. Again, can they bid steal? So some of this stuff is where we're going to be watching those conference tournaments really, really closely. But also remember, we have other automatic qualifiers in. Whitman from the Northwest Conference. We also had the Atlantic East, had the Marymount team get in. And again, the Letourneau team from American Southwest are also in. So those are all the automatic qualifiers that we have in so far. If we miss somebody, let us know. But we're trying to go through everybody, all the teams putting in, hey, we're going to nationals kind of conversation. What I find very interesting here is we get down to like the 19th team in the country from an at-large perspective, which is in contrast to the women, only the top at the 10th team in the country is getting in from an at-large. You know, I also look at this and go, we could have way more chaos in the men's game than we could on the women's. When you look at the women's game, you know, the teams that are up inside the top 15 are going to be pretty heavily favored to win their conference already. So we tend to see a little less upsets in the women's game. Whereas, I mean, the ODAC has got Lynchburg, Washington and Lee, Guilford and Hampton Sydney. We've seen all of them play well. We've seen all of them not do so well. I would say Lynchburg's probably the favorite there, but there's four teams inside the top 21, all in one conference. Like, do they get more points for that? Will it move all of them up because that's one of the deeper conferences we have in the league, in the division? I don't know. It'd be interesting to look at. But like our friends at Babson, like you really need to make sure like they don't fall backwards and somebody else doesn't leapfrog. If Hampton Sydney plays well and they can leapfrog them in the rankings, that would be bad news because you're the last team. You're one of the last teams in. And where, you know, you saw University of Texas at Dallas, they were 11th, they moved to 13th. All right, that's a big move. If they were to move down two or three more spots, it puts them in jeopardy. So the more bid steals we get, Rhodes is in here at 24. What if Rhodes goes in and wins the SAA? Well, you got Oglethorpe at 4 and Suwannee at 9. They're not going to fall that far. They're probably still in the national championships. All right. Well, that just took more spots away from other people. So watching those conferences closely, I think on the men's side, the ones you have to watch, definitely the ODAC, the SAA. And then the other one I would look at is the NCAC with Kenyon and Wittenberg. And then obviously the other big one is the SCIAC in California. On the women's side, it's all about California. You know, if Pomona wins, okay, but then it's really going to be about Redlands and Claremont. Do they fall backwards some? You know, do they not get enough points and they fall backwards and end up behind a Wash U who is not going to have to go to this conference tournament? Like, okay, that is how you get yourself out of nationals. So it's going to be really important that Claremont, Pomona, and Redlands all play really well. I think Pomona's in no matter what. They're not going to move that far back from two. But Claremont and Redlands, I mean, there's not that much distance between them and the others. If they, you know, you really need to finish. If you'd love to finish first and win the automatic qualifier, but if you don't, you better finish second. The last thing you want to do is kind of hurt your points and drop down and give them a reason to say, well, we don't really want to put all, you know, three teams from California in when we only have one from somewhere else. So I think it's going to be really interesting. The committee's got their hands full with some of this stuff. And over the next week, when we get more and more conference tournaments in, you know, look out. On the women's side, things to look for, Texas at Dallas versus Mary Hardin-Baylor. I don't think the loser's in, so you better win. Other interesting thing, the NESCAC, I think, is going to be interesting. Williams and Amherst. Amherst really needs to get in. If Amherst can figure out a way to win that, you know, that's going to hurt some teams. And then the SCIAC, again, obviously that'll be a huge one. But yeah, from in the women's game, it's going to be the NESCAC and the Southern California Conference. And in the men's game, you know, the SAA, the ODAC, and the NCAC, I think, are the ones that I'm kind of focused on the most, because those are the ones where you could potentially have a major bid steal or two because of having high-ranked teams. But you've seen teams play well from down in the below 20 and above 30, right? So if somebody gets hot for 2 or 3 days, you know, anything can happen. So that is our show for tonight. Again, I hope you guys find this helpful. I usually get a lot of feedback when we start talking about nationals and prepping for it. I'm excited to be at men's nationals this year. I will be at women's nationals next year. We talk a lot about this, but hey, it's about winning, trying to win a national championship. And you know, that every tournament I go to, that's a lot of times when people come up and go, hey, okay, so explain this to me some more. And it's not a perfect thing, but this is what we got. And so really excited about this. Make sure you're checking our social medias, check on our partners and sponsors. We love them. You know, when you guys patron them, they can kick things back to us. So that's very good. Hit up our friends at Pinned and all the other affiliates we have on our website. But also, hey, send us some shots and pictures. We'd love to see all those things. Tag us on Instagram and Twitter. We'd love to kind of keep building this thing. And if you know somebody's not following us, then you know, the more followers we get, the more stuff we can provide to everybody else. Right now, the goal is that we're going to be in Vegas the whole week. And we're hoping to kind of get a spot somewhere in the hotel to try to set up and conduct the podcast live and have everybody there. Working on the logistics of that as we speak. But until then, we'll say, hit them straight. Cheers.